Blog Talk Radio.
The following content may not be suitable for all audiences. Viewer discretion is advised.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1. You're listening to the Radio Infidel Show live from the USA, bringing you the truth, the facts, and the light. Now, here's your host.
Well, good evening. This is July 19th, 2021. You are listening to the Radio Info Show live from the USA. Jay here from the Sunshine State, joined by our executive producer, Pepe Farms, BP, and our military security expert, Demon26. Good evening.
Good evening, everybody, and a happy farewell dossier day to you all. Today we recognize the 40th anniversary of the day French Prime Minister Mitterrand revealed documents to Reagan showing the Soviets had indeed been stealing American research and development in what was to become the first of many revelations about the depth of foreign influence in the USA.
I'll tell you, BP, those dirty, dirty Russians. Good evening, sir.
Dirty Russians. Good evening, Jay, fellas. How's everybody doing this evening?
I'm doing well. I may or may not be doing the show with pants on or pants off. Good evening, Demon26.
Delving into the realm of too much information there, Jay. How you doing tonight?
Doing well, my friend. Doing well. Okay, so let's get into it, guys. Capital Ryer, age 38, is jailed for 8 months in his first felony sentence that could set the bar for hundreds of other defendants in the protest. Paul Hodgkins pleaded guilty to count one of obstructing an official proceeding. Hopkins apologized for his action on January 6th, which, by the way, I wouldn't have, and he said he was ashamed. He initially faced up to 20 years in federal prison. Hodgkins' defense lawyer argued for no prison time while the prosecutor asked for 18-month sentence, saying he contributed to the collective threat to democracy. Pepe.
Yeah, laws for thee and not for me. Just the other day, Democrat lawmaker was arrested and hauled off for doing the same thing in the Capitol. And we all know about the instances where leftist organizations have swarmed the Capitol bearing firearms. So it's just ridiculous.
Yeah, yeah. I tell you, BP, these people just, they have no hypocrisy. Go ahead, BP.
Absolutely. I mean, it's just amazing that no one in the Portland riots or the other rioting were even arrested at all. That's the ridiculous.
And we have a headline coming up that will kind of, point to that, Demon. And I know, Demon, you probably have a lot to say about this. Go ahead, buddy.
Well, Jay, this is freaking contributed to the collective threat of democracy. First of all, we don't have a democracy. We have a republic. This is something our own politicians have been shoving down our throat. Second, this is the kind of political imprisonment and gulag chicanery that I saw when I dealt with North Korea decades ago. Our government is now putting American citizens into political gulags, and they're making no bones about it. The FBI and the Capitol Police now are actively hunting Americans just for being in the Capitol January 6th. This is outrageous.
Yeah, absolutely. And there is a state senator here in Florida who is put up a bill to bar the Capitol Police from operating in Florida. Have you heard about that, Demon?
Yeah, I have. And the fact of the matter is the Capitol Police are there for one thing and one thing only. They are not Pelosi's private Stasi. They are there to provide security for the Capitol building and the representatives. That's it. That's their only mandate. They have no other mandate.
Well, at least that's what I thought, Pepe. I thought that Capitol Police dealt with the Capitol, but apparently they're in other states now, and I don't know the whole juicy on it, but I saw it was fit. Go ahead.
They're pushing to have branch offices throughout the country, which is amazing since they had to be carried kicking and screaming to, quote-unquote, protect the softball game where the GOP lawmakers got shot. They were only there because the speaker was there. They couldn't have given a damn about the rest of them.
Right, yeah. Crazy, crazy stuff. All right, guys. All right, I found this one kind of interesting. President Donald Trump supporters and American patriots nationwide are embroiled in after the Arizona State Senate hearing on the Maricopa County election audit proved massive fraud. Among the audit's findings so far, 11,320 people in the county who voted in the November 3rd election were not on the voter rolls on November 7th, but they were added to the voter rolls by December 4th. This number is higher than Joe Biden's supposed statewide lead in Arizona of 10,457 votes. Now, additionally, more than 74,000 mail-in ballots were counted in the county, even though there was no record evidence of ballots being sent to the voters in the first place. And Maricopa County withheld all photographic evidence of mail-in ballot envelopes from the Republican audit team. Meanwhile, photographs show ballot printers and boxes getting loaded into a destruction truck in Phoenix during the Senate hearing. Thin ballot paper used for approximately 168,000 ballots led to markers bleeding through. The paper, the damage of the ballots after Maricopa County officials ordered staff to hand out Sharpie markers to the same-day voters, even though she knew about concerns with the Sharpies. So there, now we have Sharpiegate, Pepe. Go ahead.
Yep, Sharpiegate is back. The supposedly debunked Sharpiegate is now backed up by an email that supposedly was obtained from the Assistant Director of Recruitment and Training for Maricopa County Elections, Kelly Dixon, where she says, "We need, in capital letters, to use markers on Election Day, but for now and through 11-2, hand voters a ballpoint pen." So was that just incompetence, or was that
no,
because they knew the early voters were going to lean Democrat and the in-person voters were going to lean Republican?
Yeah, BP, I don't think that was a faux pas accident.
No, not at all. And it's starting to come to light more and more that there was definite fraud in both the Arizona and the Georgia vote county. Multiple stories of people copying votes in Georgia, blatantly copying votes, restuffing the envelope with both the copied and the original vote sheets in there. So it's really very interesting. And it's
quick update on this. Voter GA formalized its call for a truly independent forensic audit of all county results for the November 3rd, 2020 election. On Tuesday, they explained how a review of newly released public documents led them to amend the Fulton County complaint to add counts for these audit discrepancies. 60% error rate in the 1,500-plus batch totals for the reported audit results, and so much falsifying and duplicates that they're now calling for a full statewide audit.
Yeah, I was just going to say, Pepe, that audit in old Georgia is heating up. Demon, put some kind of thought on this.
Well, I think it's pretty obvious at this point that Arizona, Georgia, looks like New Hampshire now, I guess. Pennsylvania and Michigan are all absolutely rife with voter fraud. It's probably across all 50 states, but we know these five states for certain. I came across some really good video on BitChute today of a mathematician dissecting 4th District in Pennsylvania. And that data was so good, and he portrayed it so clearly with the graphs and charts that he used, that I actually handed that off to Senator Mastriano's team this morning and got a thank you back from them.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, it's so obvious at this point. This is, you know, the amount of data out there, the amount of evidence out there, including this email, including the ballots in Arizona, including the whole Sharpiegate thing. It's so painfully obvious. Now the question becomes, what are we going to do about it as a country? Because the Democrats really think they've won. They think they've won at this point.
Right. And BP, you know, these audits may not overturn the election, which they probably won't, but how do you think we move forward?
Well, it's, Jay, it's going to be really tough because you have new voter ID laws being instilled by the states, which the majority of the people in Washington are saying it is racist or some form of Jim Crow to ask a person for their license. So that's where we're headed, down that slippery slope continuously. Going to start with the key states, and we're just going to go from there. Texas, Georgia, Michigan, Pennsylvania. You're going to see these states enact voter ID laws that require voters to have IDs, which is normal in society. But to the Democrats, it's basically their own. Basically, they just want to call everything racist. If you can't walk up and vote without showing any ID, any type form of identification, you just fill out a ballot and keep going.
Go ahead, Timmy.
Remember, their argument is to ask for ID means that somebody has to be a legal citizen, and requiring someone to be a legal citizen is the part that's racist.
Now, Pepe, I know you're going to be on this, but one of the federal agencies just did a field set up in Georgia, pushing back, I think it was the DOJ. Actually they're suing Georgia over their voter law they passed, the voter ID or whatever. And if that doesn't scare you, I mean, I don't know the entire facts about it, but they did a field thing or whatever. You know, probably know more about it than I do, but is it kind of odd for the DOJ to do a field thing like that? It just seemed weird to me.
Well, remember, North Carolina passed a constitutional amendment or it had a ballot initiative where the citizens voted to enact voter ID, and that was overturned by the courts. So, no, it's not really strange for departments of justice of one flavor or the other to overturn basic voter reform laws.
Very odd. I think it should stay in the state's hand. We do not need to federalize the elections, Demon. That is the worst idea I can ever think of.
Well, that's exactly what they want, though, Jay. They want to federalize the elections, which disassembles the United States of America as a republic.
Well, that's what they're doing by fiat, because the Arizona Senate has already pointed out that they have no legislative authority to change anything about the election. They're passing the buck to the Fed.
Yeah, that is going to be a disaster in the making. All right, guys, this next headline, I found this, you hear about these kind of stories now and then, but this is Dateline New York. Emergency medical care requires unorthodox techniques on occasion in order to save a victim. That is exactly what transpired on the streets of New York when a police officer used a bag of potato chips. You heard it right, bag of potato chips, as he rendered emergency first aid to a stabbing victim earlier this month. NYPD Chief of Department Rodney Harrison posted body cam footage Friday of the incident that involved Officer Ronald Kennedy. According to Harrison's Twitter comments, the July 7th stabbing on 125th Street in Harlem is, quote, just one of the examples of the heroic work that our NYPD officers do every day, unquote. Kennedy dumped out a bag of chips, used a knife to prepare pieces of his makeshift bandage, and then applied the field dressing to the victim's chest after his bloody shirt was removed. Paramedics arrived to transport the victim. Kennedy advised, it's the best I could do with what I had. A knife was recovered at the scene, police said. Eric Rodriguez, 38, was arrested later and charged with attempted murder, assault, and criminal possession of a weapon. The doctors at Harlem Hospital credit Kennedy with saving the victim's life. Meanwhile, the New York criminal justice system has once again failed in its job to advance public safety. According to the Daily News, Rodriguez was arrested on July 11th, 4 days after the stabbing. He was remanded to jail after his arrest, but released without bail following a court hearing on Friday, according to reports. Pepe.
Oh, another catch and release, huh? But I guess this is proof that even during a hurricane or a stabbing, people still won't eat Lay's chicken and waffles flavor, Jay.
BP, go ahead.
Lay's chicken and waffle, that's pretty good. That's pretty incredible being in healthcare myself and knowing all the things that can go wrong and someone's been stabbed. Pretty incredible to use a potato chip bag to save someone.
Yeah, when I saw the headline, I thought he was going to, when I saw the headline, I thought he was going to use it like those trauma sponges and stuff it in the wound to soak up the blood, cause clotting.
I mean, Demon, I've heard of emergency tracheotomies with like a pin casing,
mm-hmm.
but this is quite, you know, I gotta give it to the op. Yeah.
Jay, I was in long enough that I've seen both. I've seen the pen tube used for a trach in Korea. And then in 96, we were on an exercise. A guy fell off of a vehicle onto a post and then off of the post, giving him a sucking chest wound. Because we were on an exercise, we didn't have a medic nearby. And the only thing we had was a bread bag, a plastic like loaf of bread bag. One of the corporals grabbed that and immediately applied it to the sucking chest wound and saved the guy's life.
Oh, yeah.
So it
sealed it right up, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. I've actually seen both of those things done, so. It worked. There you go. If that's all you have, a bread bag or a Lay's chicken and waffle flavor potato chip bag will save a man's life. You just have to know what you're doing.
Yeah. You know, like the author said, I did what I had, you know, that, you know, and hats off to that officer. All right, guys, and I know the team's going to start beating me up over these stories, but I'm going to do it. This is breaking today. 60% of British COVID patients have received at least two vaccine doses. UK officials said the data is not surprising because the vaccines are not 100% effective. No shit. So much for that 99.9%, guys. 60% of patients being admitted to the United Kingdom hospital for COVID-19 symptoms have been vaccinated at least twice. UK chief scientist advisor Sir Patrick Wallace admitted today. Vaccine activists have previously claimed that the unvaccinated would be the majority of COVID cases after inoculation became widespread. In terms of the number of people in hospitals who have been double vaccinated, we know it's around 60% of the people being admitted to hospital, he said. We do expect there to be over 1,000 people per day being hospitalized with coronavirus because of the increase of infections. Wallace also said the data was not surprising because, again, the vaccines are not 100% effective. Pepe.
Well, as we all know, the jabs are still under clinical trial, so it's hard to tell who actually got the commie cough jab and who got a placebo. Of course it's not 100% effective if less than 100% of people actually get the jab, right? It's all just so obviously a scam that sheep will just go along with it because they don't want to admit they were duped or they enjoyed being part of the autocratic police state.
Well, I mean, BP, I thought this was 99.9%, and yet 60% of those people jabbed are the COVID cases.
I don't want that. Yes, they are. The statistics are amazing because they first said it was 99% safe and accurate But now with the people getting sick who have had the vaccine, it's just making it more difficult for them to keep their lives straight. So the story keeps changing every time, as always.
Yeah, I mean, it's incredible, Demon. Now, the five of all the Democratic state senators that fled Texas to Washington to avoid their job, five of them are now confirmed with COVID. I assume they were vaccinated. I mean, we don't know, but anyway, go ahead.
I'm done playing this silly little game, Jay. We know from old Dusty Ghost, one of the guys on Gab, who did extensive research into the PCR testing, that the tests are completely inaccurate. Additionally, I'm going to just say the quiet part out loud here. I really believe that the whole COVID thing was the scare to get people to take the jab, which is the actual problem, the actual virus. That is what I'm looking at from the amount of data that I've seen at this point. I think we're looking at a swine flu / syphilis test on a worldwide scale.
It seems like every week we do a story on this, which turns out to make it all bullshit.
Yeah.
And actually, you know what the scary thing is, Pepe? We're not even really digging for the stories. I mean, it's there.
Oh, yeah. Every day there's multiple new videos of people having some kind of seizure or other neurological problems or death due to taking the vaccine.
Yeah, man, I'll tell you. I hope one of those door-to-door vax people come to my house. All right, guys. In an interview with Carol Living and Philip Rucker for an upcoming book of theirs, President Donald Trump slammed many high-profile political figures and administration officials who attempted to sabotage his presidency and expressed that his main regret during his first term was not using the military to put down violent riots and looting instigated by the far-left wing black supremacists in the wake of conviction of felon George Floyd's death. Me too, Mr. Trump. Me too, Pepe.
Yeah, as we now know, projection, the coup was already occurring, and Trump's hands were tied by the regime. They lied to him and refused to put troops where troops were needed.
Yep, absolutely.
What they did was they played games, right? It's illegal for Trump to just deploy troops in the United States, but it's perfectly legal for local, you know, leaders, governors or mayors or whatever, to request troops through the National Guard. So, you know, while it's technically true, the process was obfuscated and stopped by the people that were doing the coup.
Yeah, it's like a catch-22.
Indeed.
BP, go ahead.
That's true. It's just, you know, unfortunate for people who want to be active in the political system and support their candidate and to get caught up in the shenanigans by the Democratic Party and the leftists that run the country. You know, I'm always becoming more and more amazed of what deaths people will go to further their careers.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, Dean, this is probably... Go ahead, Pepe.
That was Demon.
No, that was me, Jay.
Oh, I was going to say, Demon, this is more up your alley. Go ahead, buddy.
Well, one thing I do know is during the days leading up to January 6th, the president's own staff within the White House, that is the White House staffers themselves who are employed on the White House payroll, were increasingly preventing anybody who was giving President Trump advice, Sidney Powell, a bunch of others, access to the president at all. They literally shut them out. Sidney Powell was refused a pass to even enter the White House at one point. So Trump was increasingly isolated. This explains why he left the White House on January 6th and did not return. He was so isolated that he was denied information to make any decisions. He didn't know what decisions he was supposed to be making because the information was not there for him. They completely isolated him. This has never been done to a president of the United States, to my knowledge, in the 45 presidents that we've had.
Yeah, I mean, Damon, you're right. I'm appalled by that. How is that even possible?
It's that much corruption in Washington, D.C. right now. I think we have had at least 30 years of a totalitarian regime forming that we didn't understand was forming right under our very noses.
I'll tell you. Oh, God, guys. Anyway, all right, let's move on. Michelle Leet, who yelled "Let them die" in reference to conservative parents, has resigned from her position as VP of Training for the Virginia Parent Teacher Association. Leet made her comments while speaking on the leftist side of a recent protest standoff over critical race theory outside of Fairfax County School Board meeting in the middle of the school. Leet reportedly resigned after the Virginia PTA requested her resignation. Leet also serves on the board of, guess what, the Fairfax County NAACP. Pepe.
Yeah, these zealots are a dime a dozen in PTAs today. I'm sure Michelle will find her cozy little nonprofit golden parachute easy to fall back on.
You're probably right. BP.
It's just not surprising that Campbell Toe finds something to touch with her foul hands, you know?
Yeah. Demon, I'm telling you, and again, you have talked about this show and show about the education system that's really fucking everything up.
Yeah, it's one of the things that people are missing, Jay, is the PTA is supposed to be the Parent Teacher Association. Most PTAs in the United States of America now are run by professional pseudo-politicians. Parents aren't involved anymore. These PTAs are run by bureaucrats, petty tyrants, and ladder climbers who are using them to get to further political heights. All of those PTAs need to be dissolved, and the parents need to take back these PTAs. PTAs used to be bake sales and ice cream socials.
Yeah.
What happened?
Yeah.
Why did we let that go? We don't have enough time to take care of our children?
Well, apparently not, because they're taking care of it and brainwashing them as we go.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
all
of
right,
course,
guys,
because
good job.
Because a career is more important, you know.
Yeah, right. All right, let's get a headline from Pepe Farms.
All right, tonight we've got the story from the Gateway Pundit, where it turns out that AOC's battle damage and shell shock was more of a self-inflicted wound than we previously thought. The Gateway Pundit this week reports that the federal buildings evacuated on January 6th were the result of a glowy pipe bomb that was planted outside the RNC and DNC that day, and not the grannies and horned agitators in the Capitol. The Examiner even reported this back in February when they said U.S. Capitol Police learned of the discovery of two pipe bombs on Capitol Hill around 1 p.m. They responded to one pipe bomb discovered by an RNC staff member and another discovered by a DNC staff member, and that resulted in the evacuation of two congressional buildings, the Cannon House office building, as well as one of the Library of Congress buildings. And it took extensive resources. And yet AOC and the Cathedral have been selling war bonds as combat vets. Disgusting.
You know, I'm just going to go to VP about that. Go ahead, VP.
VP, you Great. Muted, my friend.
How about that, guys?
Did we lose VP?
Shit. Sorry. Yeah, I'm here. Sorry.
Okay. Go ahead.
It's just amazing what people will use to get ahead in this world.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely, without a doubt. Demon, go ahead, buddy.
Oh, man, I got a good one here. This is out of the Detroit News, and y'all know I love my city mostly because the rest of y'all hate it, and I don't care. Bianca Chambers' brand-new white Mercedes-Benz was stolen, and for 2 days, she tracked its location using a web of social media tips. 4 times after locating her vehicle, she called 911, but in every instance, when the officers arrived, the car had already been driven off, leading the cops and Bianca on a wild goose chase through the city. But on day 3, Ms. Chambers had had enough of playing hide-and-seek with the elusive thief and confronted him in a barber shop on Detroit's Lower West Side. After spotting the car in the parking lot before entering the shop, Bianca slashed her own tires to make sure the criminal didn't get away with it again. Then she went inside and made a citizen's arrest. Pepe, would you play that little audio clip for us, please?
Oh, my God.
He is 7 days west. Getting his dreads twisted. Look at my car.
Excuse me, you got that Benz out there? Yes, you do.
You will never steal from me again. I slashed all the tires and I thought that he was going to take off, and I didn't know how long it was going to take for the police to pull up. And I refused to let him pull off again.
Ladies and gentlemen,
oh,
do not mess
God.
With the Detroit black woman. Do not mess with the Detroit black woman. Now, the best part of that is there was a video clip. One of the other customers in the barbershop filmed her dragging that kid across the floor of the barbershop by his braids. Mm. She had a fistful of his braids and was just dragging him out the door.
She was just giving him an extra twist.
I had to do the headline. What's that?
She was just giving him an extra twist.
Oh, she gave him an extra twist, all right. That was just such a beautiful shot.
That is absolute gold. BP.
Okay, my story tonight is the South African riots. As we all know, the news has come across that rioting and basically anarchy in South Africa. The trigger to the rioting is the arrest of ANC leader Jacob Zuma, who's the former president of South Africa. Many people say that violence is premeditated for economic sabotage, much like the BLM activists here who protest and riot businesses, legitimate businesses, for the destruction of the economic system. South Africa is much in the same way. Supporters of the former president have coordinated a strategy of chaos, looting, pillaging, referring to a call from officials right after Zuma's arrest to block major economic port of Durban that leads to the economic heart of South Africa, which is Gugta. This has weakened a clearly already fragile economy of South Africa with two major factors. One, currently being enforced by the current president, Ramaphosa. Sorry, that is Afrikaner. I can't understand that. And the group for Zumba, who want to keep the looting and the pillaging going until he is released from jail. Demon 6 brought up one key aspect about the story, that the Chinese owns most of the ports around the world. So if they could get this port for themselves free and clear, they will have a tremendous economic advantage in the Horn of Africa.
Okay, so Demon, follow up on that. I mean, now, is follow up on what BP said, but follow up, is South Africa not where the farmer situation goes on as well? Go ahead.
That is where the farmer situation goes on. The tribes in the area have been bum-rushing Boer. Those are the indigenous Dutch down there that have been there since the late 16th century, early 16th century, actually, and just killing farmers at night, just slaughtering them wholesale. But to BP's point, the Chinese have been showing a great deal of interest in deep water ports. Durban is one of them in South Africa. It is the key port that controls South Africa's economics, for one, but also controls the Horn of Africa. Now, interestingly, the Chinese have been in Portland, which is our northernmost deep water port on the Pacific, and they own most of the docks in San Francisco. So it looks very much like the Chinese are very quietly rounding up deep water ports. My understanding is they also control the ones in Australia at this point as well. I can't name those off the top of my head, but I'd have to dig that story back up.
No, I have heard that. Now, Damon, what is the point of them acquiring deep ports?
They have been building up their navy as well. The Chinese have also pushed into the South China Sea and reactivated a port they had on an island there. I think we're seeing China trying to form an almost British Empire hegemony over the seas.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it looks like to me.
Yeah, I think so too. Pepe?
Yeah, I mean, it certainly sounds like it. I'm just trying to figure out how you say BlackRock in Chinese.
China Entrepreneur Club. Look
there you
up
go.
The China Entrepreneur Club.
All right, guys, great job. Now, on the other side, we are going to be back with Facts with Demon26 and Big Things with Pepe Farms. Grab yourself Georgia Sweet Tea. Hit the can. We'll be right back.
Deep inside.
Here comes Facts with Demon26. Demon.
Don't forget your mute button, buddy.
Thank you. Appreciate that. As I was saying, and totally muted myself in the process, I had a little bit of an epiphany the other day. We all know about the 1619 Project. One Calvin Pearson out of Hampton, Virginia, founded the whole thing. And the entire project is based on the idea that white chattel slavery is the most evil thing that ever existed. Only white people did it, and it only happened here in the United States of America, and only white people are to blame for it. And he goes through the history of slavery, neglecting the fact that there were black slave owners and such. But we're missing something. We're missing a very key point out there, and it doesn't actually have anything to do with the 1619 Project. Now, for the last decade and a half, probably, I've been watching with great interest as we see reports of human trafficking throughout the United States and the rest of the world, primarily Europe. There are echoes of it here and there in North Africa and the Middle East, but a lot of human trafficking stories cropping up here in the United States of America. These human traffickers are very often related to the cartels coming out of Mexico, but more and more frequently, this human trafficking involves persons from other third world countries, other foreign countries, and sometimes even European countries. All of these human traffickers have been moving around the United States of America, and we're going to stay in the USA for the moment. They've been moving around the USA with relative ease. They crop up everywhere. Every time there's a major sporting event, the World Series, the Super Bowl, there's always a report about human trafficking and prostitution. This is all over the place, and it's all the time. So what's going on? What's happening? Well, ladies and gentlemen, problem is the media has used the words human trafficking and the words human traffickers and the words victims of human trafficking to blind us to the fact that slavery is alive and well in the United States of America today, and there's no question of it. Human trafficking is the process of purchasing a human being and then moving that person to a location and then selling or exploiting that person. A human trafficker is the person who purchases these people and moves them and sells them or exploits them, and in many cases kills them when they're done with them. A trafficked person is the individual who is purchased and moved and used, definition, ladies and gentlemen, of slavery. All these years, we've been reading human trafficking headlines and gently dabbing a tear from the corner of our eye with a tissue, saying, that's awful. We have slavery running rampant in the United States of America. It gets more complicated. Now that human trafficking is being protected and facilitated by, and in many cases funded by, the federal government of the United States of America. We now have military vehicles, military aircraft, military trucks moving, quote, illegal aliens across our border, coming from countries as far-flung as Ghana or Cuba or God knows where else, many from Central America, some South Americans. They don't get there on their own power. They pay a fee, at which point they become the property of the traffickers, who often rape them, beat them, steal all of their things, then move them to our border, where they're moved across our border with the tacit permission of our federal government. They are then moved inland, where God knows what happens to them. Many of them are sold into prostitution. Many of them are put to work on farms. We have no visibility into what's happening to these people at all, but we see headlines all the time. Last couple of years, case after case after case after case, pedophile rings broken up, human trafficking rings broken up. The slave trade is alive and well in the United States of America. It is thriving, and it is being sheltered, protected, funded, and even encouraged by our own federal government and by a complicit media and by complicit politicians within each of our states who do nothing to stop this. There is a thriving slave trade in the United States of America. Human trafficking is slavery. Human traffickers are slavers. Trafficked persons are slaves. We need to get this into our heads and realize what is happening. It is sick. It is disgusting. It is the trafficking of our fellow human beings going on, not under our noses, but right in front of our eyes. Right in front of our eyes. And because the media calls it human trafficking, we don't make the connection. There is a slave trade in the United States of America, and we need to wake up to it, and we need to stop it. This country doesn't have slavery, but slavers are operating free and clear on our own soil with the protection of our own federal government. That's my soapbox for the moment.
You know, I'm glad you brought that up, Demon, because, you know, I think people talk about human trafficking, but they forget about child abduction. Now,
yeah.
I don't know how many people remember the Johnny Gosch story back in the 70s, a newspaper boy that was abducted in Iowa. We had his mother, we had Norma Gosch on several shows. But, it is, you're right. And it's not a USA problem. It's a world problem, Demon.
Yes, it is. Absolutely, it is. I wanted to focus on the USA today, but it is definitely a world problem.
Right. It's a multi-billion dollar year industry.
Which makes it slavery.
Exactly. Pepe?
Yeah, just 3 days ago in New York City, somebody tried to steal a five-year-old boy off the street that was walking with his family in Queens. It was either the mom or the dad had to reach in the car as it was driving off and pull the kid out.
Absolutely disgusting. BP?
That's so true. Every day, worldwide, just like Demon said, it happens. It goes on. And unfortunately, it's become the norm in many countries. Certain Eastern Bloc countries, certainly. Albania.
Absolutely. Unfortunately, in the last 5 years, it's become the norm in our country.
Yes, yes.
Yeah. You know, but this has been going on for thousands of years, Demon.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. Yep.
It literally makes my stomach turn when I hear this great, great story block, Demon. Thank you. All right, guys, hang on. We're going to hit Big Pink with Pepe Farm.
The Arizona Senate election briefing has exposed a flawed implementation of a system seemingly designed to prevent meaningful audit. Tonight on Big Think with Pepe Farms Remembers, a bit of what the auditors actually said and what it might mean. Arizona Maricopa County election audit Senate briefing has been churning the internet for days now, replete with the cathedral's predictable ongoing laments of the unfairness of it all. Of specific interest to me as a reformed IT specialist are the Ninja's findings regarding the security of Maricopa County's implementation of the Dominion voting system. You may have recently seen details about shared passwords, out-of-date antivirus definitions, out-of-date Windows system patches, deleted system logs, system administration authorizations, and anomalous Windows login behavior. While all these egregious violations of common best practices are themselves not enough to suggest any specific criminal behavior, when taken in context with another detail that seems to have been forgotten, the picture becomes clear. Not very long ago, it was revealed that Dominion delivers the Microsoft SQL Server Data Tools application installed on the Dominion Election Management System server. Using this tool, any authorized user can view or manipulate data, in this case the election data delivered from the tabulator servers. The Senate hearing disclosed that a seemingly purposeful standard administrative task was automated for the express purpose of deleting evidence. On March 11th, a script was executed which caused the Dominion Election Management System server to perform a security audit of the local machine over 37,000 times. This deliberate destruction of evidence removed all Windows system logs prior to February 5th, 2021. What evidence could have been important enough to delete from the Windows system logs? Login and application information, which I propose was evidence of use of the SQL toolset, or API, to access the EMS system database. Not for the purposes of changing votes that had already been recorded, but just to query the running total. With that current total information, you can do things like, say, stop counting at midnight. Add to this that it was also divulged that the ICP's system log showed, quote, anomalous Windows login behavior during the election, and a clear pattern emerges. The ICP servers, or ImageCast Precinct servers, are the Dominion servers running at each precinct that collect data from the ImageCast scanners, touchscreens, and mobile devices that voters use to cast their ballot, and which records and reports ballot images and what Dominion refers to as, quote, result files. The anomalous Windows login behavior means that some unknown device was connecting to the servers that collected and counted the ballots from the various ImageCast devices. Perhaps the biggest star of the hearing were the 8 local user IDs that shared the same password on the system management server, but taken in context with the out-of-date security patches and the county's assertion that only Dominion has administration access to the Windows operating system, it seems that the county may not have even had the administrative level required to change the passwords, even if they wanted to. I've struggled with way too many small and medium-sized business owners and other low-level functionaries about user ID and password security to not believe that the common unchangeable IDs and passwords were by design and at the request of the county, if not just from sheer laziness, more than incompetence, with, of course, the ulterior motive of potential vote manipulation, the unspoken open secret it has always been. The icing on the cake is still the claim from the county that access to router logs used the night of the election to transfer data from the ICPs to the EMS results tally and reporting server, the event designer server, and the system management server could compromise citizens and other Maricopa County user data. In a lawsuit the county filed to prevent auditing the routers' transactional logs, the county is admitting that the routers used to connect Dominion election servers to each other and the ICPs are the same routers used by the county for public internet services and police. Sure, you can use the same physical hardware and configure virtual LANs with a certain degree of certainty that you can isolate the traffic, but under that condition, you can also provide isolated logs for just the virtual LAN in question, without compromising data that that machine may have also transmitted. Either way, the county is lying. They can either provide the logs because they exist in their own protected virtual space, or they cannot because they didn't create a separate virtual LAN for the election equipment. Finally, the county was forced to admit that the voter registration database was accessed by an unauthorized party. It's not specifically stated that it was one of the Dominion servers that was accessed, but that detail is irrelevant. They had all the pieces. They knew all of the valid registered voters. They had the running count in the Central Election Management System server, and they had access to the tabulating IPCs at the district level. Everything they needed to double scan here, adjudicate there, find boxes under tables, etc. The suggestion that the regime did not take advantage of this obviously fraudulent setup is absurd. The fact that back in March and even now still the cover-up continues so blatantly just seals the deal. So what will happen out of all this, you may ask? Arizona or other states might tweak their election law. That's it. Some may continue to shout, mostly for the fundraising, but in Arizona, the law is clear. The Arizona legislature has no power to recall electors or partake in any other corrective action. The buck has already been passed to the Fed, who has already ruled the point moot or otherwise not a federal issue. The Arizona legislature must amend its statute concerning the appointment of electors and make it retroactive, or the Arizona Attorney General has to sue the Fed, or there has to be a run on pitchforks and tiki torches.
Okay, so I'm going to throw this out here, Pepe or whoever. Now, wasn't there a high-level, I think, Dominion guy that made a open statement that Trump won't win, I guarantee it? Anybody?
Well, no, it was just some rando person that claimed to be a Dominion employee in a large-scale, not open to the public, Antifa meeting. Like a Zoom meeting or their equivalent. And during that, he said somebody on the call asked, what are we going to do if effing Trump wins? And the person that's been identified as a Dominion employee responded, don't worry about the election. Trump's not going to win. I made effing sure of that! Exclamation point.
There you go. Okay, BP, go ahead.
So... sickening to hear that you can manipulate the election like that. It just makes my skin crawl.
Well, and Demon, it should make everybody's skin crawl because, you know what, and I know you've said that it's been false for decades, but now it's obvious.
Yes. Yes, it is. So I was talking to a guy earlier today, and I noticed that this president of the Arizona Senate, he's just speaking things into being. That's what the left does. They create law from whole cloth and then beat on it, and then the media backs it, and then everybody smiles and nods their head and accepts it. That's not law. Election fraud is law. Overturning an election is law. Punishing people who commit election fraud is law. Saying it's not my job, I'm going to hand that off to the Fed, that's not law. We've been allowing them to create law simply by speaking it into being in front of a microphone for MSNBC or CNN.
Yep, rule by fiat.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, without a doubt. BP, what do you think, buddy?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think they have touched on something that they knew before the election, and it was just a run-up until the election that they tried multiple ways of fraud, basically, to steal it, and it all came to a head once on election night.
Yeah, you know, I think a reassuring thing is, again, we said the election probably won't be overturned, but I think more and more of it's going to come out, guys. Awesome job. Let's do final thoughts. Final thoughts, BP.
Well, I do hope the regime is beginning to fear its path of fraud and dishonesty, but we must be ever vigilant because, as Groucho Marx observed, the secret of life is honesty and fair dealing. If you can fake that, then you've got it made. Good night, everybody.
There you go. BP, final thoughts.
My final thoughts are basically I wish people would just be themselves, honest. That's not going to happen. So it's going to take the good people who are left to stand up for right in this world.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Demon 26, final thoughts.
Two quick thoughts. The blood of the Tree of Liberty must be refreshed from time to time with the blood of tyrants and patriots. Lost my ability to speak, sorry. Final thought. Rope tree politician. I'm sure you know the rest.
Yes, sir, absolutely. Thanks to our co-host, Pepe Farms VP and Demon26. Pepe, get us out of here.
Through these fields of destruction, baptisms of fire, I've witnessed your suffering as the battle raged high, and so many